Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
I'm feeling the weight this morning. It's a good weight though. And praise and worship definitely wrecked me. So thank you to the team, Nikki and the team for leading us in that for a start of a great morning. I just want to say thank you again to Pastor Full for allowing me to be up here. I do not take this opportunity lightly, to say the least. But Phil doesn't actually know this. When he first asked me if I would share with the church, I accepted. And then it was only about a week and a half later that he messaged back and said that he'd love me to share on Hope. Now, this is going to sound a little funny, but when I received the message, I actually laughed out loud. And I, honest to God, I looked up to heaven and I said, God, that is so classic. Because of just the space that I am in personally, I even shared with a couple people in my life that know me very well, know the situation in my life very well, know what I'm sort of walking through myself, and they laughed. And it was only until they laughed that I was like, okay, it's not funny. I actually have to stand up here and share. But I'm just being really real and honest with you this morning and probably instilling a lot of confidence in my pastor right now. But I did. I disqualified myself for sharing on Hope this morning, just because I myself have been so challenged in this lately. But lucky God doesn't disqualify us. And when I sat down to prepare my message for this morning, thinking I had nothing to offer myself, let alone anyone else, God showed up. So, phew. But before I say any more, I just want to, he did a lot of work on my heart through preparing my message, but I just want to pray because I really need Jesus this morning. So if you would join me in prayer. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. Thank you, Lord, that you have allowed me to be your instrument, God, and I just pray that I would just be your vessel, Lord, that I would just be your instrument, that you would make the noise, Lord, you would make the sound, Lord, that anything that comes out of my mouth, Lord God, they would be your words. They would be your words pressing on your heart that are in heaven, Lord God, and I just pray that I would be a deliverer, that I would be your deliverer of your message, Lord. And I just thank you right now in this place that your presence is here, and therefore no doubt, no unbelief has any place here, Lord God. That you would fill this room with faith, that you would prepare the hearts that are sitting in these seats, Lord God, that you would speak to us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. See, I've wrestled with this one particular verse in the Bible for the last 18 months of my life. It's Proverbs 13:12. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life." And for the past 18 months, I've had moments where my faith has been really strong while believing for certain things to come to pass in my life. But I have also had moments where I have walked up to God and I've sat down in front of him with my arms crossed and I have laid this verse out before him just in case he'd forgotten about it. And in tears and through pain, I've said, God, I don't get it. You say in your word that hope deferred makes the heart sick, and my hope feels deferred, like really deferred. And I don't understand why you're not changing anything. It's making my heart sick, just like you said it would. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is the truest verse I've ever read because this is exactly what it feels like in my life. But at the same time, I'm going, God, I'm hoping and I'm waiting. I'm hoping and I'm waiting and nothing's changing. My hope is disappearing. And I don't know about you. Maybe you've walked in this morning and you say, that's me. That's me. I've been hoping and I've been waiting for something in my life to happen and I feel disappointed that it hasn't. Maybe you've walked in this morning and you're saying, God, I hope that I would have been in a better role, in a better job by now. Or God, I hope that I would have been married by now. Or God, I hope that my child or my family member would have come back to you by now. God, I hope that I would have been healed by now, would have experienced breakthrough in this area of my life by now. I don't know what you've come in this morning with, but I just want to encourage you with this such a simple statement, but I know that some people in this room need to hear this morning. For your own sake and for the sake of others, don't give up hope. Because I believe that God impressed so strongly on my heart this morning that he wants to remind us afresh of the confident hope that we have in him and because of him and through him. And he actually wants to redefine. The word that I got was enlarge our understanding of hope and actually detach it from feelings of disappointment and reattach it to himself. I want to read from Jeremiah this morning. ultimately. And I just hope that the simple points that God laid on my heart to share with you today will act as a reminder that hope is not just this fluffy word that people get tattooed on their bodies. It's thrown around a lot, like on the wrist. That's a good spot for the word hope, on the wrist. It's not that. It's not just a strong feeling of expectation, but to me, it is actually connected to the tender desires of the heart, which are supposed to be connected to a source, to a life source, which is Him. And my dad was sharing with me the other day a quote. He said, it's commonly said that where there is life, there is supposedly hope. But what should be said is where there is hope, there is life. And I could not agree more with that statement. You think about this for a second. Hope is a powerful thing. Someone was sharing with me a little while ago that in America, when soldiers are sent out to battle, and they are actually trained, and it is entrenched in them. This is going to sound funny, but they are trained to never give up hope. That when they're on the battlefield and they have the potential to be captured by the opposition and held hostage, because it does happen, they actually train to meditate on the fact that someone is coming for them. Someone is coming for them. And that's because hope is a powerful thing. And I believe that where there is hope, there is life. Where there is no hope, life feels dark. Life feels unlivable. And you can see that. I mean, I read a statistic the other day that really just broke my heart, that the suicide rates in Australia are skyrocketing. That suicide remains the leading cause of death, I think it was in Australians aged between 15 and 44. The leading cause of death, that 65,000 people a year attempt to commit suicide. Now, when I see that, when I observe the condition of the world, I don't see where there is life, there is hope. Where there is no hope, people are actually taking life. So I'm wondering if you can join me, if Brett has that verse in Jeremiah. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And I don't want to go into the theology side of this, but I do believe that further back, Jeremiah is actually referring to the tribe of Judah and why they found themselves on the verge of destruction at the hand of the Babylonians. And he was trying to draw reference to the central point, which was their reliance on themselves rather than on God. But I don't want to go into any of that this morning. I just want to take exactly what the Lord is saying here, because I believe it still applies to us, and actually just encourage us with this. God's putting forward two alternatives here. He's actually giving us two options. He's painting two pictures. Those who live in the barren wilderness and those like trees planted next to a riverbank. And in the first picture, verse, he describes this image of stunted shrubs in a desert. Now, when I Googled that, because I had to, I just was like, stunted shrubs in a desert. It's actually a plant disease, which results in dwarfing and loss of vigor. And loss of vigor means loss of energy, of effort, of enthusiasm, of strength. And when these plants actually experience stunted growth, it leaves them looking sickly and anemic. They're deficient. That growth can no longer occur. Growth is cut off. And God says there will be people who will live in the barren wilderness, dry, empty, no foliage, no twittering birds, no signs of life, no signs of health. In an uninhabited, salty land, a rough and parched, no hope for the future. Anyone want to go there yet? But then he also describes another image, one that is like a tree planted next to a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. So they're not lacking nourishment. They're connected to a life source. So you can expect, God says, expect green leaves and fruit. Expect signs of life and of health. Even in the times of heat and drought, expect tall trees and lots of growth. Expect birds and the sound of a flowing river. Now, when I first read this passage, I skimmed over it, and I understood it as though God was referring to unbelievers versus believers, that God was referring to people who have rejected Him as opposed to people who have accepted Him. But I've got to be honest with you, I was reading this verse thinking, but I don't feel like the second one. I feel like the first. I feel like the one in the barren wilderness. And I believe in Jesus. I love him wholeheartedly. I want to serve him. I want to please him. How am I here? How am I in the uninhabited, salty land? I want to be the tree planted next to the riverbank. I want to see signs of life and of health. And I understand that everyone goes through difficult times, but I know that I'm speaking to some people in this room, and it feels far beyond just a challenge, that you actually feel weak and you feel like you cannot pick up your feet and carry on. So let's take a look. What makes the difference? What draws the divide between those who find themselves in the barren wilderness and those beside the water? And what actually causes one person to live in lack and the other in abundance? What causes the difference between the two heart conditions that God is essentially talking about here? He drew my attention to the two different sources which actually preceded the two different heart conditions. I'll give you an example. The Lord says, those who rely on human strength, who put their trust and hope in mere humans, that's the first source, they will live in the barren wilderness. That's the resulting condition. But those who trust in the Lord, who make the Lord their hope and confidence, that's the second source, they will live like trees planted along a riverbank. That's the second resulting condition. So we have others, and we have oneself as the first source, and then we have God as the other. Notice how there's two options, that there's nothing actually in between. And so this begs the question, and I believe that we will all end up confronting this at some stage of our lives. And I pray, I don't know how to say this correctly, but I pray that it wouldn't strike you as an obvious question. Because I know we're all sitting in church, and maybe majority of us have actually accepted Christ into our lives. But I pray this question would not strike you as obvious, because in my experience, just because you've accepted Christ doesn't give you this default setting that in every circumstance you just make Jesus the hope. It's actually a choice. It's an intentional choice. And so the question is this: who is the source of your hope? Is it yourself? Is it others? Or is it God? God made it very clear to me that he wasn't necessarily referring to an unbeliever versus a believer, but he was actually painting a very clear picture that the source of one's hope will actually determine the condition of one's heart and one's strength. And that's what I got out of it personally. And what I've been doing these past 18 months is forever crossing over this divide. I've been giving my situation over to God, but then I've been living in worry and fear when I haven't seen change. This is what we do. We give it over to God, but then we live in the worry and the fear. And our heart condition and our state will reflect each time what source we choose to draw from. So if you do feel tired this morning, if you feel weak, if you feel hopeless, if you feel like you've exhausted every one of your options, if you've bent over backwards, if you've given everything, if you've given your all, you've done it all, you can't seem to change a situation in your life, this is actually an image that God placed on my heart, was that sometimes we hold our situation in our hand and we don't want it. God's wanting it. He wants to take the burden, but we're holding on, and our hand's actually losing color. We're holding on so tightly, we don't want to surrender it. We don't want to relinquish control, because it's uncomfortable. And some of us this morning have been holding so tightly onto the situation because we're actually hoping in the outcome rather than him alone. And God actually gave me this image that some of us this morning, including myself, actually need to open up and offer it up. That some of us actually need to stop doing, that we need to release, we need to take a deep breath, and we actually need to offer it up to God. Because he says, in Exodus 14, I will fight for you. You only need to be still. In Psalm 46, he's saying, be still and know that I am God. God is saying, I know how this all ends. And I don't think that God's saying what he says in Jeremiah because he's an insecure God and he wants to curse those who don't trust in him. I believe he knows how we're created. He created us for a dependent relationship with him. So when we do take things into our own hands, and when we do try and manipulate and control the outcome, we come up short. That he knows that when we rely on our own strength, when we put our hope in ourselves or others, we take our eyes off him. And personally, you can disagree with me, but I think that we live in the most self-sufficient era. Everything is about self-help. Katie mentioned this at youth. Everything's about self-help, about self-sufficiency. But when I actually observe the condition of the world, I have to ask, how well are we helping ourselves? How well is the source of self actually working out for us? God also gave me another image. He revealed to me that when we disconnect our source of hope from him, it's like we're taking a lamp out of its power source. and things go dark. And then we find ourselves in these moments of darkness and we wonder why we can't see any light in our situation, because we actually take the plug out of its power source. And what we do is we pin our hopes to our circumstances and the things we so desperately want to see come to pass. But then what we don't realize is that when those things are deferred, then our hope feels deferred, then our strength feels deferred, and then we experience a loss of vigor, which is a loss of effort, of energy, of enthusiasm. I also want to draw your attention, though. Notice how it says, when you put your trust in the Lord, such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. And what this tells me is that even when you put your hope in Jesus, even when you believe and he is the source of your outcome, there will still be moments of heat. There will still be long months of drought where you find yourself waiting and hoping. And God has told us this freely on many occasions. He hasn't kept this a secret from us. He actually says you will encounter tough times. But when you have roots that reach deep into the water, and when you're actually planted in him and you're planted in his word, we can come out of those times with green leaves and fruit, as it says in Jeremiah. And that's the difference, that growth can still occur. That I've found out recently that even when you put your hope and your confidence in God, doesn't mean we avoid the storm. It means we actually have the stamina to weather it. But not only whether it, when your hope's in Jesus, we can come out of that storm having allowed the potter, who's the good Lord, to actually mold and shape and get rid of what doesn't need to be there. Mold and shape the clay, which is us. And we know in Romans 5, it says, these moments help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. So either way, weathering a storm hurts. But I know that in my life, depending on where your hope is rooted, it'll either end up breaking you or making you more like him. God also drew my attention to the fact that hope in him cannot exist without both faith and trust. That's trust in who he is, trust in his word, trust in his promises. And in David says in Psalm 119, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. David also says in Psalm 31:24, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. In Psalm 33, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, are on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our shield. God is faithful, and I'm preaching to myself this morning. He cares about the desires of your heart. He wants to see the desires that you long for fulfilled in your life, but we have to get into the habit of actually planting them, planting our hope in him, and let him grow the rest. In Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, he is the God that makes our paths straight. He is the God whose plan for us is to give us a hope and a future in Jeremiah 29. That he sees all, he knows all, he knows what's best, he knows what's up ahead. He has a reason for every delay in our lives. And so trust, we cannot let go of it. That we cannot forget who God is. My mom drills this scripture into me, that when we know who God is, we know that he is a God who works all things together for the good of those who love him. And that's found in Romans 8, verse 28. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So we trust in who he is, but then we have faith that what we hope for, even when we can't see it, will come to pass because he is faithful. So we can't stop praying prayers of faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Hope, trust, and faith, I believe, all go hand in hand. And this is the sort of mode that I've been in at the moment, that I've tried to make and force and make happen what I've been hoping for, but God actually reminded me that it's not my job to actually force or make what we long for come to pass. It's actually our job just to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added onto us. So how do we stop ourselves from crossing back and forth over this divide? I think that we can't take our eyes off Jesus, because as soon as Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he sunk. I've got a few things that I wrote down here. We hold on to his promises and the times he has come through for us. Maybe some of us need to actually write down the times that he's come through for us, the times he has been faithful, so that we can read over those. We can see that in the past that he's never let us down. So what makes this time any different? We meditate on who he is. We have faith in his word. We remember and remind ourselves of how much more he wants our future to work out than even we do. But we seek him first. We get into the secret place and we talk to him and we let him talk to us. We never cease praying and we be still and know that he is God. Church, what struck me is that there will be people in our lives, well, there are people in our lives that face a barren eternity. And the one thing that we always encourage our youth with is that there are some people in our lives that will never step foot inside a church. And we may be the only Jesus that person ever encounters. And so I pray with all my heart this morning that as we hear this message of hope, as we're reminded of a confident hope that we have in Jesus, that it doesn't just stay here, that we actually, once we've grasped what it means to walk with hope and in hope, that we actually introduce the people in our lives to the person of hope. Yeah. That we would allow also our eternal hope to infiltrate our worlds, so that we can be carriers of hope in a world where hope just seems a little lost. I've also really been convicted of this. I think our community needs more people who give off hope. I was talking to a work colleague the other day and she was asking me how my situation was going and I just said to her, oh, I'm still waiting. And she's not a Christian and she actually turned to me. She's like, don't worry, like it'll all work out. Everything will come into place. And I felt really convicted. I was like, I had to ask myself, what do I ooze? Like, what do you, when you're going through hard times, what do you ooze? Do you ooze worry and anxiety to those around you? I was really convicted in that moment. I was like, whoa, I'm supposed to be that one on the other side of that. So that's my second question to us this morning is, what are you giving off? Do you ooze hope? Or do you ooze worry and anxiety when you're in a challenge? And I know that I've shared mostly about our present hope this morning, but our eternal hope that we have through Jesus is more important, and I believe they are completely interconnected. 1 Timothy 6 verse 7, it says, "For we brought nothing into the world and can take nothing out of it." So there will be a day where all our hopes and our dreams, everything that's worried us, everything that's stressed us, all our issues, it'll just pass away. This world is so temporary. It's gone in a blink of an eye. And James 4 verse 14 emphasizes this. He says, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone." And even Paul says, if you're only concerned about this life and your hope in Christ is only for this life, your faith is useless. 1 Corinthians 15, "And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." So my second question for us this morning is, who is the source of your eternal hope? And if you can't answer that this morning, then I believe that this is your opportunity. I believe that God extends his hand in every way that he can. I believe that he provides every opportunity to make himself known. And so I would ask you, if you've felt his voice, if you felt that knocking on your heart throughout anything, through the service, through worship, through the what Michael was sharing, if you felt anything, the Lord prompting, it says, Revelations 3 verse 20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." I'm going to ask us to just close our eyes for a moment because I want to give God freedom. I want to give God room to do some knocking. And if that's you this morning, if you feel like God's knocking on your heart, I pray that you wouldn't resist it. I pray with all my heart that you would actually open up your heart and let him be the hope of your life. that he's got a plan for your life. That all of us will confront death at some stage. But that Jesus actually has a plan after all of this. That he wants to spend eternity with us. And so right now, if that's you, can I just ask that you raise your hand if you want Jesus to be the hope of your life? Not because you have to join any church, not because you... because I need to see it, but that it's just a step of faith. It's a step of action of going, God, I want to acknowledge you right now in this place. God, I can feel that knock. I can feel you tugging on my heart. God, I actually want to respond to that. It's actually just a response. And so if that's you this morning, can I ask, as all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that you just pop up your hand and make that faith statement to the Lord? Yep, thank you. Yep. God sees every hand, God sees every heart. Is there anyone else this morning? For those people who raised their hands, I just want to say a quick prayer with you. And if everyone in here today can follow along with me as well, that this is just you talking to God, just saying, God, I want you to fill my heart, Lord. I want you to come in and be the hope of my life. That I've been doing it my own way, Lord, and it's not working out for me. And so, if you could follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge, Lord, that you've been knocking on my heart. And today, I want to let you in. Lord, I know that you died on the cross for me so that I can spend eternity with you. So I pray that you would come, be the hope of my life. I'm sorry for the times that I've done things my own way. I ask for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. I actually want to do something a little bit different. I wonder if Brett has got that song. I was listening to the song the other day, and the words and the lyrics are just absolutely beautiful. And maybe this morning you just need to come to the front or stay in your seat and just listen to these lyrics of the song. And maybe you've accepted Christ already before, that you've been walking with him for a long time, but you know you've been doing things in your own strength. You know that your hope has been in your outcome rather than in him. And you just want to lay it before him. You want to release, you want to open up, and you want to offer it up. Then I just want to leave room at the front. I want to leave room for the Holy Spirit to just do what he needs to do. Like Michael said, you may be on the verge of a breakthrough, that maybe surrender is what you actually need, to just get onto your knees and go, God, I give it to you. I can't do it anymore. So if we could play that song, and please feel free to just stay in your seats or come up the front.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.